Tigers. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Good Monday morning. The Grizzlies find good luck in Chicago. They get the number three pick. What will they do with it? Brad Snedeker wins. You heard me, the kid from Nashville. President's Cup captain, won for the first time in 8 years, his 10th PGA tournament. We'll talk golf with TJ Reeves and with Ted Butler along the way. And we've got in the middle Mike DeCourcy. Did you see the prices on the World Cup tickets? He's covering the World Cup for the Sporting News this summer. We will get into that with him in a myriad of topics. One thing before we get to medals, because you know we've got that, then TJ, then Mike DeCourcy and Ted Butler. And that is, I was saddened by the passing of Bobby Cox. Died at the age of 84. This is amazing. 29 years he was a major league manager. He had 15 divisional titles with the Atlanta Braves, 14 straight National League East titles. Think about that. I don't know that we'll ever see another domination. 14 straight years they won the NL East. Two World Series titles, 6 100 win seasons, Hall of Famer. I think, I want to say during his era, his winning percentage, those 14 years were incredible. It was like 581. The best was 582. That might have been Tony La Russa. But what an amazing manager, leader, baseball mind. So sad that he goes at only 84. And a lot of you might be thinking, 84 is pretty good. Well, not when you're looking at it from my vantage point. But congratulations on a great life, that's for sure, to the Cox family. But Bobby, I know, will be missed. We do a thing every Monday. We call it medals, good and bad. Let's start with the Grizz. So they move up to number three. They get lucky. And that means most likely available would be Cam Boozer or Caleb Wilson. My estimation, that's not even close. If you've got both those guys right there, you got to go with Caleb Wilson. Cam Boozer, I think, is a good player. I really do. I think he's got a great winning mentality. I think he's mentally tough. I've seen so many places where they go, take his brother too, 16. Come on now. You can do better than that. I don't think you go with the Boozers. I think you go up with Wilson. Or could you move up if you know that either Peterson or Devonta are the two guys that you think are going to be all-stars, Hall of Fame potentials? If you think those two guys are for sure, could you package something to move up? Or could you package something to go down and get one of these point guards and still get another player and maybe another top pick in a draft that is so heavily talented? There's a lot of things he could do. Move down for the point guard, move up to get the two that clearly seem to be the best players. But I would have put Wilson in there. I would have said, if you can get Devonta, Peterson, or Wilson, you're in great shape. So I wouldn't probably do anything. I'd keep that. I might package that second pick at 16 for something with Ja involved. You still got 32. You might get a big man in that. Mm-hmm. You're in great shape. Obviously, I definitely would go with Wilson. I would not go with Cam Boozer, although I think he'll be a good player, but not necessarily a great NBA player. I give a bronze medal to the National Football League. You know they're going to release their schedule, I think, for the most part today. Mm-hmm. Did you see the opening Sunday night game they already have on the books?
I actually didn't.
It's impressive. It's very impressive. The New York Giants with John Harbaugh as their first-year head coach against the Dallas Cowboys in New Jersey. That'll be a great game for Sunday Night Football.
I think so.
That'll be the culmination of opening weekend, but I love that for sure. I got to give a silver medal to SEC softball. Man, where it just means more. They landed 6 of the top 8 seeds for the Women's College World Series. They got only 15 teams in the SEC play softball. 12 of those teams made the College World Series tournament. That's pretty impressive.
Really impressive.
Wow. What is that, 80%? I think that's 80% of your league made it. And 6 of them are in the top 8 seeds. Pretty impressive stuff for sure. I got to give a silver medal to the New York Knicks. They swept Philly. And I mean they did it in such easy fashion. They are now in the Eastern Conference Finals. They outscored the Philadelphia 76ers by almost 19.5 points, 19.4. That is the most ever by a team heading into the Eastern Conference Final, that point differential. They just killed them. In Philly, too. It wasn't even close. I think of all the teams in the East. I know the Pistons and Cleveland still there, and that one, to me, is up for grabs, even though the Pistons do lead the series, but I don't think anybody's going to beat the Knicks. Knicks are good. Knicks are really good. And then I got 2 gold medals. The first one goes to Brant Snedeker, I mentioned. 10th tour win yesterday out of nowhere. He's 45 years old. He has not won in 8 years. He's the President's Cup captain, for goodness sake. He was supposed to be concentrating on that all this time. He was supposed to go to Medina this weekend to look at the... Now he's in the PGA Championship. He can play in the U.S. Open. He's actually got 2 more years of eligibility because he won at Myrtle Beach. Just great stuff. Great stuff. I should mention Chris Rayton, and I'm sure I will with TJ or with Ted Butler at the end, because he won his first. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, with Højgaard and Hovland, and now this guy Chris Rayton, the Norwegians are taking over the golf world.
Sure.
It's pretty impressive, that is for sure. And then my final gold has to go to the Chicago Cubs. I know they lost the last 2 games. But on Friday, when they won the first game of the series in Texas, they had won 10 in a row. That is 2 10-game winning streaks in the first 40 games of the year. The last time that happened was in 1955.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
And by the way, anybody that's done that, and there's like 5 or 6 or 7 going back to the 1800s, everybody who's done that has really done well in postseason.
Yeah.
So, makes me feel good about the Cubs' postseason chances.
Well, when you string together that many wins, I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
It's hard to lose. Well, my first bronze I'm going to give a couple of days ago at a minor league baseball game for the Charlotte Kings. They had a very special guest sing the national anthem. Did you hear about this, Dave?
No.
It was Ronald McDonald. Ronald McDonald showed up to the game. They were doing the camera pan, showing the teams, hyping up the game. Then who's singing the Star Spangled Banner other than Ronald McDonald, who concluded the Star Spangled Banner yelling, "Let's play ball," and they went on. I don't know how the game turned out. I was too locked in on
Ronald McDonald. I would have thought
Ronald
he would have said, "And check out the value meal deal."
Probably. Something like that. But, I mean, hard to beat something more American than Ronald McDonald singing the national anthem at a minor league baseball game. In other bronzes, I'm giving a bronze to the Knicks and the Thunder, both of whom are with the Knicks handling their series, and the Thunder also doing the same, even though there seems to be a lot of gripes and complaining from a lot of fans, especially Lakers fans, on the whistles that are being, you know, favored towards
the
Thunder.
They're down 3-0. They're going to get creamed, by the way.
And they are. And so that's why I'm giving them bronzes, because these series have kind of been just a wash, just a dud. They've taken care of business, and they've done so pretty convincingly, which is why I'm giving a silver medal to the Timberwolves and Spurs series, which is not disappointing. I mean, the way that Anthony Edwards and this Timberwolves team continues to fight and continues to play against this Spurs team, I really think we have a potential to go all 7.
I got a little rust going on this one.
And I do as well, so I'm not going to mention that one little thing. But another silver medal that I'm going to give to the Carolina Hurricanes in the NHL.
Oh, they're good.
As they go back to the Eastern Conference Finals after completing 2 sweeps in both of their series, they become the 5th team in NHL history to go 8-0 in the playoffs. which is elite company right
there.
Did
you see the Montreal game last night with Buffalo?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my Lord. Those two teams are
amazing game. And then my gold, I'm giving a gold to Christoph Wrighton, who wins his first, gets his first career win at the Truist Championship, especially when you have the Masters champion who's competing there and just did not have a great weekend. I mean, he still finished pretty good. What was it, T19, something like that, for Rory?
He won me some money. Yeah.
Yeah, he won me a little bit of money, too. But a big gold medal to him. And then I'm also giving a gold medal to Hansi Flick. I don't know a lot about soccer. I don't know a lot about the, you know, the Premier League or the different leagues that are going on with anything. But I saw this stat over the weekend where it said that in soccer, in every season that he has been a head coach at the highest level, he has won, which was from 2019 to 2021 and 2024 to 2026. He won their leagues with all of these different teams. And as with the team he just won it with was Barcelona, who has won the La Liga. The three times in the past 4 years.
That's
so,
the Spanish league, right?
It is, I believe so. Yeah. So world champs that many times, winning the soccer league that many times, every time you're a head coach, I think that's
pretty impressive. I got to give, speaking of soccer, I got to give Russ to FIBA. And that organization, which is trying to gouge everybody, the World Cup price, this is the truth. They've gotten so much criticism that they've now offered, I don't know how many, they got some $60 tickets out there that you got to get into a lottery to win. But ticket prices go as high for the final to $1 million. These people are out of their minds. And then my last Ross goes to Victor Wembanyama. Just totally lost his cool yesterday. Now, some of this goes to the referees. They have allowed Wembanyama to be absolutely killed. Mm-hmm. And some of this goes to Chris Finch, because he has told every single player on that team, beat the crap out of Wembanyama. Just beat him up, because that's the only way we can stop him. And if the refs don't help, but you can't go throw your elbow at the neck of Naz Reid, although, okay, Naz kind of had it coming, if you ask me, but can't do that. And so Wembanyama gets a Russ, because they win that game last night if he stays in.
Yeah, and that's exactly why my Rust is the exact same thing with Wimby's ejection, is because we're in a space right now where the Spurs cannot afford to have careless mistakes like that against this Timberwolves team, who is fighting and probably going to take this all the way. I mean, they're not laying down for this team, and that was evident in their most recent game where Anthony Edwards played incredible, but Wimby throwing an elbow, making mistakes like that, upgrading those fouls, getting ejected off the court, I mean, that's costing them huge.
Yeah, you know, that's early in the second quarter, too.
Yeah.
Those are our medals. I sit in the Family Leisure studio. Here's a reminder, we got a new sale coming soon, because the Battle of the Brands was going on through May 10th, unless they extend it, where you can get hot tubs starting at $3,500 and swim spas under $17,000. You know how cool those are. You did get a special thing if you mentioned us. So I've got a feeling they are either extending or we got a new sale we'll be talking about tomorrow. That's Family Leisure. There's always something cooking. Go see Billy. Go see Lindsay. If you mention us, there's always something good in it for you. Just head to I-40 and Wooden Road. Also, medals brought to you by the good folks at Landers Cadillac of Memphis. I got to have Kent Ritchie on again soon to find out what is the latest in cars and his thoughts about NIL and a lot of different things, because he's prominent in the University of Memphis for that. But his big thing, he is the guy that is the czar, the guy that runs all of the Landers dealerships. And I'm telling you, if you want to see what a great dealership looks like, head on over to Poplar by Sunrise and take a look at Landers Cadillac of Memphis. It's beautiful in there. Of course, it took a long time, because they take their time to make sure everything is right. And that's the way they are when they're going to give you the top dollar for a trade-in. You want the best opportunity at getting money for your old car, go to any Landers, in particular Landers Cadillac of Memphis, and see how much you can save with the Landers Easy Pass. Go to CadillacofMemphis.com. Don't miss out. There's always exceptional offers, and you know the best new Cadillacs, they sell fast. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. To Tampa we go. Our good friend, sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll talk a little NFL schedule with him. But first, let's start with congratulations. Today, I know, because you told me, is the 30th anniversary of the union of Thomas Reeves Jr. and Jennifer.
Jennifer Reeves. Those that had the under were sadly, sadly mistaken. 30 years later.
What was the under? What was the under?
I don't know. Some would have probably put it in a lot less than double digits, but we have done well. Since I have spoken to you, I just surprised her. Did I tell you I was doing this? I talked to several people. I just took her pink roses, which she loves, into her elementary school classroom. And, you know, like when you're calling a big game at FedEx Forum, there's pandemonium. There was pandemonium in that room. So all good on the surprise front. Thank you for the shout-out on the nuptials. I joke with you all the time when you have me on that I am a proud alum of what is now the University of Memphis, although I graduated from Memphis State University, and I graduated 34 years ago.
Wow.
At the Mid-South Coliseum this past weekend, the second weekend in May. How about that?
And then
time of year with graduates.
4 years 92. Later, you got married. Holy cow. What do you think about the NFL schedule release? I know the one game I've seen I love is the new John Harbaugh New York Giants at home to open on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys.
Shocking. NBC has readily admitted if we could put the Cowboys on all 17 games, we'd put the Cowboys on all 17 games. So it's shocking that the opener is Dallas, which is literally like probably the, I don't know, they've had the NFL, I think, for 21 seasons, 20 or 21 seasons. They probably have had the Cowboys in the opening game, almost all of them, like 19 or 20 of them. So they're going to do this piecemeal, including they may do another one later today. They normally do one on Good Morning America for the ABC ESPN opening game, Monday Night Football opening game, do one on CBS, start talking about the Christmas games, the Thanksgiving games. So that's over the next two or three days, and then the full schedule release is Thursday night, and this is when everybody starts to lock down, okay, what week is this division rival? What about this out-of-conference game, AFC, NFC? So we get to start to learn, are there international games? Are the Buccaneers on the radar for an international game? We already know several of the teams, like the Jaguars, that are playing in London, and we know the Ravens and the Cowboys are playing in Brazil. And it's a week three Sunday afternoon game. It's not a standalone game. That was already announced.
Wow.
So they'll piece together the schedule for your Bears, my Bucks, the Cowboys, the Patriots, and that mess that's going on, the Rams, the defending champion Seahawks. Everybody finds out their schedule at the same time coming up Thursday. So stay tuned.
I mentioned a bunch of baseball earlier because the Cubs did something nobody's done since 1955, have two 10-game winning streaks in the first 40 games. I also mentioned, and I don't know if you have any...
Now, wait a minute. What is the Cubs record? Because I don't know. What's the Cubs record right now?
You don't know the Cubs record? Because
I don't know. Oh, I know the Rays. By the way, who has the best record in the American League right now? The Tampa Bay Rays. The Ragamuffin Rays.
That's why I bring this up. I knew you were going to go there.
Right, what is the Cubs record?
The Cubs record is 27-14.
The
best record in baseball is Atlanta at 28-13. I mean, come on. Your division, you're 26-13. You're 13 games over 500. You're a game ahead of the Yankees, but everybody else in that division is under 500. In the Cubs division, by the way, everybody's over 500. It's the toughest division in baseball.
But here's my point. You say the Cubs are the first team to have two 10-game win streaks in the first how many games of the season?
40.
So I know this because I've always quoted this. The 84 Detroit Tigers that eventually won the whole thing, Sparky Anderson's the manager, Kirk Gibson, Sweet Lou Whitaker. I know for the sub-30-year-olds, they have no idea what we're talking about. Google it. YouTube them. That team started 35-5. Hello. So you're telling me they didn't win 10 games in a row two different times going 35-5.
They must have had
a massively long win streak in the 35-5.
Yeah, they might have had a 9-game win streak. And, you know, I would imagine that had to
but still, think about being
that's what
30,
I read.
30 above 500.
Yeah, no
question. That's the 84 Tigers.
Well, and by the way, anybody, this is not the first time it's happened. It's the first time since 55. You go back into
since
the 1800s. Right. you go back into the 1860s or something like that. Other teams have done it. It's not the like the Cubs are the 8th or 9th team that did it. But every time that that has happened, that team went on to good postseason play. So
it bodes well.
Yeah, bodes well. That is for sure. I really wanted to ask you about Bobby Cox because, you know, you read what his numbers were and everything. Yeah, Hall of Famer for sure. Passing away at the 84, I wondered if you ever had a Bobby Cox story.
I did not ever deal with him or get to interview him, but obviously we are all connected to the Braves and TBS and actually – you know, him taking over in the 80s, and then they had the rise in the 90s. You talk about things that might be, we would say, untouchable. Who's going to win 14 consecutive division titles again? Maybe
I
a Yankees or a Dodgers manager
again.
Might get in that neighborhood at some point. But, I mean, the Yankees don't win the division every year.
No.
The Braves won the division 14 years in a row with Bobby Cox.
I mentioned that, and I 14. Said I don't think it'll happen again in my lifetime.
Probably not. I mean, you do well now in present-day Major League Baseball to win the division three times in a row, or four times in a row, much less 14. They were that dominant with all those pitchers and all those names.
Well, the Dodgers might win three World Series in a row, the way it looks on paper. Although they struggled a bit here.
Although the Braves just took it to them in Los Angeles.
Right.
So what a wild set of circumstances. You know, people have talked about this my whole life, about things happening in threes. And you have John Sterling, who's more known as the Yankee announcer, but he did the Braves games in the 80s, including a couple of famous moments like the 1985 July 4th game that went 19 innings, and Rick Camp, the pitcher, retied the game with a home run, and John Sterling's on the call. So John Sterling worked for Ted Turner in TBS before he worked for the Yankees and had the Hall of Fame radio career with the Yankees win.
Right.
He passes away. Same week, Ted Turner passes away, and then Bobby Cox passes away, all within days of each other.
Right.
It's crazy. It's crazy to contemplate that.
A connection.
Braves.
I hadn't thought about that until you just said it. Beautiful stuff.
Amazing.
That is for sure. Last thing real quick. How about from out of nowhere, President Cup captain Brent Snedeker, 45 years of age, winning the off tournament this week in Myrtle Beach. Obviously,
it's not an off tournament for him.
No.
We were going over this.
Gets him in the PGA.
He's in the PGA for this week. He gets in the U.S. Open confirmed. Does it basically put him in the FedEx playoffs? It puts him in the FedEx Cup playoffs, basically, too.
I think it does.
With a win. What a story. And he's the President's Cup captain, and we love this about golf. Because, really, that came out of nowhere. The guy, Nicholas Raton, that won, the Norwegian that won in Charlotte, he's obviously life-changing, almost $4 million.
Yeah.
He's in the PGA now. He's in the FedEx Cup playoff.
His name is
Chris Rayton. I thought it was Raton.
No,
I don't know. It depends on your pronunciation.
Yeah.
Well, you're the guy that pronounces them all for the St. Jude Classic, for the FedEx.
Yeah.
But listen, that guy wasn't even in the field. He was an alternate.
I know.
Life-altering stuff every week on the tour. And so now we find out, is this a Scheffler repeat? I know you're back in the storyline of Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Can he complete the career Grand Slam?
Right.
But, I mean, he's not in world-class form right now to be able to get it. Is it Rory McIlroy? Is it somebody else?
Last thought on that. Think about this. From out of nowhere in the last few weeks, we have Matt Fitzpatrick's brother, Alex. He finished third in this thing all along.
He was right there.
Oh, yeah,
he was right there
after winning with his brother the week before, right? Okay, that's what got him in.
By the way, he had no status until that win with his brother.
But he had won a DP World Tour event.
So
this guy, Rayton, comes from the DP World Tour where he had won an event. I'm telling you, Europe's got some great players.
Yes.
That's all I can, and that's going to make it tough in the
Ryder Cup in two years. And maybe this is a European at the PGA Championship, but they got to take down Scotty. Obviously, Rory is a European.
Yeah.
He's from the UK. But stay tuned.
Let me tell you something. Rory ain't taking down Scotty. There could be somebody else, Cam Young, who folded yesterday. Rory's not winning the PGA, I tell you that right now.
All right. You're calling it on Monday?
Mark my words. Thank you, my friend.
Always good to be with you. Thank you for the shout-out on the anniversary.
Yeah. Congrats.
We will stay in touch on all.
You got it. Take care.
Have a great one.
That's TJ Reeves, brought to you in part by Sheldon. Who's the best guy to guide you, whether it's a quarterback or a point guard? You got to have a strategy, and then once you've got that plan, you got to work the plan, and that's exactly what Sheldon Rosengarten, Mark Spensdorf, does. He's been doing it for 40 years. He's amazing. He loves golf, but he stinks because he can never practice. They call him Mr. Three-Putt, Mr. Shank. It's because he's working 24 hours a day, 365, on selling your house. And if you go to MemphisRelocate.com, you'll see all the success stories and all the rave reviews they get, because this guy's got this strategy. It's a marketing program that has worked because he works it, too. He's the guy that gets in there, figures out the numbers, gives you the right price, then works it everywhere and gets you to the closing table quicker than anybody else. He'll tell you, talk to two or three real estate brokers. Just make sure he's one. Call him at 483-0546 or, again, go to that website, MemphisRelocate.com. You want the job done, you call Sheldon. We are headed to Pittsburgh. Our good friend Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News comes your way in just a minute.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
We are headed to Pittsburgh in a minute from here. Sporting News, Big Ten Network. Mike DeCourcy is going to join us. He's brought to you by Memphis Tourism and the Memphis Sports Council. You know that with over $3.5 billion in annual spending by visitors to Memphis and Shelby County, you know that those traveling to our community each year support there's 2,000-plus businesses that make up local tourism and the hospitality industry, whether they're coming here for a convention, a sporting event, or the blues, soul, rock and roll, whatever you love that Memphis is famous for, tourism and hospitality industries meeting the needs for 12 million annual visitors. Memphis Tourism and the Memphis Sports Council, that's a winning combination, and every week they bring you Mike DeCourcy. So I watched, Mike, and I know you are covering the World Cup for the Sporting News. I watched a pretty interesting piece by NBC News the other night on the prices that FIBA is trying to get you to pay to go to the World Cup games in America. They got shamed into getting a little bit of a lottery and putting out there, I don't even know how many, not many, $60 tickets. But you could pay as high as $1 million to watch the final. That's like crazy.
Well, sometimes in this discourse, what gets confused is the legal secondary market. I don't want to use a certain word that it was illegal.
Right.
The legal secondary market and what you can be charged to buy tickets in that venue, as opposed to what FIFA itself is doing. And in all honesty, the figures that you see out there in a lot of cases are, like you said, the $1 million, and I've seen tens of thousands. FIFA is not charging that. But
no, that's secondary market, but what's their face value ticket prices?
But the face value is exorbitant and unnecessary. One of the things that bothered me about this whole approach is that when they came to the United States in 1994, they knew that if they did reasonably well, and of course they weren't 100% that the World Cup would take here, but they knew that if it took, that they were going to make more money than they ever had, for the simple reason that we have more seats to sell. Our football stadiums, our standard NFL football stadium, is bigger than almost every soccer stadium in Europe.
Sure.
Almost everyone. Not the biggest, the Camp Nou at Barcelona or Old Trafford at Manchester United, those are extraordinarily large. But for the most part, 50 to 60,000 is big in European soccer. Here, that's a small stadium in the NFL. I don't even know if you can get an NFL team with that few seats. And so they knew they'd make more money that way. And that was great. And they were happy, and they sold more tickets than they ever have. And that was great. But then they came back this time, and they knew they were going to sell more tickets than they ever have, because they have more games than they've ever had with the expansion to 48 teams. And yet the tickets were still extremely highly priced. There are there are very few seats in a reasonable range. They did, like you said, acquiesce to pressure from Europe to unleash a small segment of, $60 tickets. When I went to the World Cup in 2006 in Germany, in a 40,000-plus seat stadium, I paid 40 euros for my tickets.
Yeah.
They weren't prime, but they were good.
There was a couple that they interviewed for this story, okay, that got a $60 ticket, but they weren't going to go. And they've gone to the last, I think they said, five World Cups.
Yeah.
The most they ever paid would be $250 American. That was the highest.
Yeah.
The average, I think they said, was like $130. And I was looking, I think that opener for the United States, the cheapest face value ticket price was $1,000.
Now, I think there were less than that. If there may be what's left, but there were less than that to begin with, but they were still high. And let me tell you, this is not a FIFA-only phenomenon. I got myself on the opening list for the Olympics in 28.
Uh-huh.
I got a window about 2 weeks ago. Here's your window. 2 days, you can buy whatever you want. There were limitations and everything, but here, at any event. And I first tried basketball because I'm a hoop guy, right?
Right.
But first of all, the highest price ticket was around $1,800. The lowest price ticket, so you're looking at like up in the rafters for 200 plus or close to 200. I think it might have been 180 at some. And plus, you didn't know who any of the teams were.
Yeah, I was going to say, are those for the medal games? And what does it cost to
see?
No,
that was for like Team A versus A3 versus Team A6 or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
And so I passed on that, and then I looked at track and field because at least you know what events are going to be on what days.
Sure.
You know, today's the hurdles and the time trials and the 100 or whatever. So I looked at that, and it was the highest price tickets were around $1,800, and the lowest price tickets were around $200.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm not doing that. So I gave up on it. I was told before I went in, and I never got all the way to the end because I just said the heck with it, that there were like 25% convenience fees added on top of whatever you spent.
Sure.
For what? I mean, I'm
right.
You're not even printing me a ticket, for goodness sakes. I'm probably just going to get it on my phone. So it's gotten to be at all levels absurd.
Right.
In regards to the international event,
I think it was succinctly put by NBC, and I'm gonna carry it over. Any elite international competition, so that will include the Olympic Games. It's all for the 1%, because otherwise you can't afford it.
Yeah, yeah, I that's absolutely true, and I think it might even be for the 0.5%.
Right.
I mean, this is one of the reasons why I've argued for decades now, literal decades. I had an argument about this in 1988 after I'd been into the 87 Final Four and sat 20 rows from the top of the Superdome. Next year, it was at Kemper, and I was having an argument with a writer from the Philadelphia Daily News, Kevin Mulligan, about why it should be in big stadiums like that. And he said, but you can't see. No, I'm like, no, I was there last year, and I had that time of my life, and I wouldn't trade that for much. I wouldn't trade my first row seat now for sitting up there, but that weekend was very precious to me, and I think everybody should have the chance to do that. And the NCAA doesn't gouge you for those seats. I mean, they're reasonable American sports prices, and they should continue to stay in those, because if you did go back to the Meadowlands Arena or to Madison Square Garden or wherever, it would become exactly what you just said. It would become, those tickets would all, they would all start at 10 grand. Even if you won the lottery and you only paid, what, 250 for your tickets or whatever, you couldn't turn down the offer if you got into a reasonable place. You couldn't turn down the offer that you'd get for five figures for your single ticket. You couldn't.
Right. Yeah. Pay my mortgage for a year or
watch
the game. This is why I'm so happy that 4K large screen, I mean big screen TVs were invented, so I can watch it beautifully. got to ask you this. Kevin Pritchard, the general manager or president of operations of the Indiana Pacers, apologized yesterday after he tanked all year to try to get a top four. And because in a trade to get a big man earlier in the year, if it was number five, he would lose the pick.
Right.
So they tanked. They lost the pick. The Clippers get the number five pick that should have belonged to the Pacers had it been top four. Here's a guy who is now apologizing to the fans because he gambled on the lottery. We've seen all the tanking because of this, especially in a year that's so full of great talent. And I'm sitting going, and we're talking lottery today because the Grizzlies ended up with the third pick. I'll get to that with you in a second. But I just think this system is so bad. I would love your thoughts on that.
I don't like the lottery to begin with. It clearly doesn't discourage any of this. When there are reasons to do it, I think that the approaches that they're thinking about taking for the future are an overreaction to what was what will be a historic draft. If you're tanking next year, you're an idiot. I mean, because there's not much to get. There's no reason to tank. If you're bad, you're bad. And I'm not angry at the Pacers for tanking this year because they didn't plan it. I mean, they got hit by a truck, basically. They threw the guys out on the court, and then a truck hit like seven of them, and they had no choice. It's like, okay, we're going to be bad, so we might as well be bad. And that I thought was fine. I didn't love the trade to begin with because it seemed like too much of a gamble. When you're talking about a guy who would really, there's no question he makes them better at center when he's on the floor. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's played, I think, more than 70 games in an NBA career that's now on eighth or ninth year. I think he's played more than 70 games once or twice. That doesn't excite me. How do you know that's not a problem? I mean, my goodness, you're worried about Darren Peterson cramping up, and here you're trading away a top four pick for a guy who doesn't last the full season, and you're wanting to go 100 games, not just eight. So I didn't love it from that standpoint, and then they got really bit by it yesterday. And the Grizzlies obviously are a beneficiary of that.
No doubt.
That top three pick, it'll be that fascinating to see who will be available for them.
All right, so let's you're Zach Kleiman for the moment, Grizzlies GM.
Yeah.
I'm assuming DeBanza and Peterson are gone.
Okay.
DeBanza is going to go to the Wizards, let's just say, and Peterson goes to Utah.
Okay.
Up next, so the Grizzlies. Yeah. They have their choice. Cameron Boeser, Caleb Wilson. I've already said who I want without a question. Not to disrespect the other guy, because I've thought there are four really solid guys, but I think there are three special guys, the two I mentioned and one other. Who would you take in that spot?
See, I look at Boozer and I say, okay, who in the league is like him that's excelling? Not succeeding. He'll succeed. He's going to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
The success is a given, but stardom, like the kind of stardom that you would hope to get out of a draft like this, and there will be many that will get stars. Not everybody's going to be Wemby, but there are going to be many stars in this draft. And I look at Boozer and I say, okay, who in the league that plays like him is a star? And there's one guy, and the difference is that Nikola Jokic is 7 footer taller. And Cameron Boozer is 6'9 or shorter.
Right.
And that scares me. But I look at Caleb Wilson and I say 6'10 and maybe the literal best pure athlete in the draft and a competitor who, like, look at a guy who comes every night. Look at his game log. And one of the things that when I was doing my All-America write-up for him, he made our All-America team. And when I was doing the write-up for him, I'm like, he gets 20 points every night. Like, not like, okay, he averages 20 or whatever, and so one night he gets 40 and one night he gets 12. No, like, he gets it every night. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's astonishing how many times he's around between 22 and 18 points because he just finds a way to deliver every time. And so I know I'm getting a guy who's going to deliver, and I think with his dynamism, I think that he has a chance to be a superstar. I wouldn't take him over the other two because they're more advanced talent-wise, AJ and Darren.
Right.
But I just can't pass up Caleb if I'm the Grizzlies.
My sentiments exactly. I thought the same. I think Boozer is going to be a good player. He's not going to be a great player, but I think Wilson has a chance to be a great player. Oh, you know, and I don't know that I would try to move up maybe and package some things to try to get to either AJ or to Peterson. But or you could move down if you wanted to for other pieces and get the point guard that you figure if you've identified which one you really want. But I think I would keep three, and I'd go for Caleb Wilson, for sure. Remind me, because we're out of time next week, I want to talk to you about NIL budgets, because Penny Hardaway was on a show on Friday, and he made the statement that he thought to get to the Sweet 16, you have to have at least $10 million in your players.
Oh, that sounds right.
And you got to choose the right guys, and yep. It's going to take 20. Going to take 20 to win a national title. We'll get into that next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, my friend, as always.
Thanks, Dave.
That is our expert, geez, on a lot of stuff from the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network. That is Mike DeCourcy. He's brought to you in part by Southern Security. You're getting the best possible rate on your mortgage. Let me tell you, 7 locations these guys have, and they're not for profit. They can do things other banks cannot. So they can offer lower rates. They get you the most flexible terms. No PMI and unbelievable service. You can refinance your current mortgage with the Mid-South's best mortgage lender so easily by either going online at southernsecurity.org or calling the office and talking to a human at 901-452-7900. Southern Security is an equal housing lender, federally insured by NCUA. You voted them the best credit union in the last 6 years. Southern Security, it's your home team credit union. We take a break. We're going to summer golf and games. That would be our guy, Ted Butler, on golf. He's next.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Gabe Woloshin.
Let's head to Summer Avenue. Golf summer and golfing games is what I meant to say. It was so much easier, Ted Butler, when it was just putt-putt. Sorry.
It's okay.
We got a great story this week. A couple of great stories this week. What do you think about Sneds? Brant Snedeker, who's supposed to really be winding down. He hasn't won in 8 years. He's 45. Yep. He's the President Cup captain. Out of nowhere, he wins the off tournament at Myrtle Beach. I mean, that's an amazing story.
It's a great story, absolutely. He's such a good guy. You know, he's been a good guy for a long time and had a long time of not playing golf and come back and win a tournament. It's pretty incredible. And everybody likes it. I mean, everybody likes it. He's a great guy.
He apparently also, you know, he had some sort of a surgery 2 or 3 years ago that,
yes.
that caused lost flexibility, lost strength and had fatigue issues. Just overcome that, and get the confidence back is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. And then go out and win the golf tournament. Man. Grief. I remember that injury. I don't know exactly what it was, but I do remember something about that.
Yeah. And the other story is this guy from Norway, Chris Reiten. Yeah, you take a look at it. Reiten, Alex Fitzpatrick, Matt's brother, they're both from the DP World Tour. They've won the last 2 weeks. Like, what's going on? Is the DP World Tour that deep? And how much does that scare you to know all these Europeans are so darn good and they're going to take on the United States, not this year, but next in the Ryder Cup?
Well, I don't know. They're all that good. I mean, Tom Young didn't play very good. Scotty didn't play. They were extenuating circumstances. But it's hardly ever that I've heard of a guy I never heard of win a PGA tournament.
Right.
Well,
like
Chris Reiten.
He was like a second alternate. He just got in because somebody got injured.
Yeah. Well, Fitzpatrick's been playing great. And how about Ricky Fowler? You know,
that was nice to see Ricky play well.
See, Birdie's 18. He's right there. So he played well. We're still better than those guys, though. The DP, they can bring them all over. Bring them on. We can handle them.
You're not worried, okay?
Nah.
I'm a little worried because they're all good. I mean, they're playing these tough golf courses too. This guy Rayton, he was incredible on Quail Hollow. Those three finishing holes at Quail Hollow are hard holes.
He just laced it on 18. Perfect tee shot, perfect iron shot. Made a great putt on 16 or 17. That par putt on the short par four.
Yeah,
got a 10-12 footer. It was he deserved it. I mean, he went out and won it.
So we got. Go ahead.
Question for you.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear anything about Rory saying that or is this just fake news? He said he's taking some time off to rehab his body and take care of his family. Did you hear that?
No, because that was his second tournament in 7 weeks. If he's not rehabbed from that, I don't think that's true. You telling me he's not going to play in the PGA? He's going to play in the PGA.
That's what I thought too. Yeah. I just saw it on Facebook yesterday. You know, you never know about that thing.
Huh. Well, I'll double check that, but. See if we can double-check Rory McIlroy's status, but I'm almost certain he's playing at Anaheim outside of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania for the PGA. I'd be shocked if he didn't. You know, he's going to try to play in every major and probably some, you know, like the Irish, and he'll probably play not every signature. He's already hasn't played in a couple. I mean, to play two tournaments in 7 weeks, there's no way you can get any kind of real rhythm or form if you continue to do that. So I've got the feeling he's going to play some more. It gets us to that tournament. Spieth going for the Grand Slam. Scotty needs the U.S. Open. Will either of them ever get the career Grand Slam?
Oh, Scotty will for sure. I don't know about Spieth. I mean, he just can't play 72 holes. You know, he's hanging around. He's getting a little bit better, but he keeps screwing up, making double bogeys, and not putting near like he used to. But if Scotty doesn't win this year, then I think next year at Pebble Beach, he probably will. In fact, I think Scotty's going to win the PGA this week.
I was going to go there. He's your pick to win it?
Yes. Yeah, I think Cameron Young got a dose of messing up. It was four putting, three putting.
Oh, my God. How many putts? They said yesterday he missed like four four-foot putts.
Yeah.
What do you think that is? You lose confidence? I mean, the guy's been putting great.
Well, I think those greens are extremely difficult. You know, they're fast and they're hilly and they're rolling. And the four-footers, you know, they could barely touch them. And they roll down and break. So if you get on the wrong side of the hole, it could be anything.
Hmm. You have any let's get an update. Landon, what's the story on McIlroy?
McIlroy is a confirmed participant.
I knew it.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
I didn't think there was going to be an issue playing
good.
In that.
Fake news again.
Yeah. So how do you think he does?
Well, I don't think he wins. That third round he played was horrible.
Oh, no. 74, 75? Crazy.
And it could have been worse than that. I don't know. He can just take that much time off and be sharp enough to win a major.
I agree.
And I think Scotty's been second three times already this year. It's time for him to win again.
I guess it is. Anybody, you got any Anaheim stories you ever played? Because I know you played in one U.S. Open in Pennsylvania. Anything on this course?
No, I don't know much about Anaheim. It's they've played there quite a few times, but I didn't get to play there. I played at Marion.
Right.
But it's a really good golf course. I don't think it's treacherously long, but you know, any U.S. Open course is tough. But I don't have any inside stuff on it, no.
All right, the news this week, and by the way, Rahm or DeChambeau, none of the big names won on the LIV Tour. It was a guy, a first-time winner. and they need a new business model. You have any idea what that might look like, and do you think when this season is over there will still be a LIV Golf Tour?
I hope not.
you and me both.
I don't know. Some people have said we're not going to go away, and they may put some more money into it, but it ought to just go away. You know, they're talking about getting other countries involved, and there's a lot of stuff going around that you know what's true or not. I don't know. I just hope it goes away.
Yeah, you know, they're banking on the team concept and selling the teams. I don't know how anybody who'd buy into those teams could get a return on that investment. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't see it surviving, honestly, in the long run. I mean, look, certainly the purses aren't going to be the same. There's not going to be guarantees like that. DeChambeau's not going to get a $500 million guarantee like he was hoping for. So I don't see this thing surviving in any big sense of the word. All right, last thing. Here we are, almost middle of May. What's important? What do we need to learn to know? What's your lesson of the day on a Memphis golf course?
Well, I think that just most of the golfers, you know, the 15 handicap, middle handicap golfers fade the ball a little bit, that they ought to learn how to hit a draw 3-wood. For like number 3 at Overton Park, you know, where you got to hook it around those trees to the green.
Absolutely.
And
well,
if you take a 3-wood and you move it back in your stance a little bit and you aim to the right and you strengthen your grip just a shade, and that de-loss the club.
Wait. You're telling me to strengthen my grip? You're the one that's always telling me quit strengthening your grip.
No, this is to try and hit a draw on purpose.
Ah, okay.
Not just hold it like you do. No, this is to hit a little rolling hook that it rolls a long ways because you've de-lofted the 3-wood and it goes almost as far as the driver, and you can turn it around the corner. It's a shot that, for slicers, that they could use, and they don't seem to want to do it. It's not hard at all.
So,
put it back in your stance, turn the toe in, aim right, and hit it.
All right, so let me get this. Put it back in your stance a little bit, strengthen your grip slightly.
A little bit, slightly. Turn the toe in just a little bit.
Turn the toe in a little bit. Somebody was a pretty good golfer says, the way I do it is I just drop my back leg, my right leg, on an angle.
Well, okay. I don't know how that makes it hook.
I don't either. It seems that, well.
He's like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
What I can't figure out. Is how you play a 600-yard par 5 with a drive and a 6-iron.
Oh, my God. Did you see they were hitting, seriously, 9-iron, 211 yards? 9-iron, 211 yards. First of all, I'd like to really know what the degree of the loft is.
Right.
That's where I think they should go. They should tell you the degree of loft so we're really a little bit more honest here. But it's phenomenal how they do what they do.
I'm seeing all the people coming in now with new clubs and they're hitting longer. Because their pitching wedge is like 43 degrees long.
Exactly. That's what I say.
It's not a wedge anymore.
Yeah.
Eight iron.
Good stuff. Next week, I'm going to ask you this because I haven't asked you. If you had one course to play in Memphis now, what is your favorite golf course? Think about it over the week.
Okay, right. I will.
That is Ted Butler, our guru on golf. He's brought to you by Memphis Public Golf, and he, I know, used to play in the big games at Galloway, and now they've improved Galloway. They've improved every golf course. Every single golf course, better than it used to be. I take out Riverside. Don't include that in the mix. But everything else is incredible, and they've made it easy. You can find out how every course is by going to the website or to get a tee time, any course, memphispubliclinks.com. It's so easy. Grab your favorite tee time on your favorite golf course just by going to the website. Also on the website, a schedule of upcoming events. Here you'll find out maybe something that interests you because they're trying to get more competitions at all of the golf courses. They figured out when Mickey Barker got here, golf is a great amenity for a great city. That's what we got here in Memphis. Great golf courses. That'll do it for us. Tomorrow, usual busy show. Looking forward to that. Johnny Radio, I'm sure after a hard weekend, he comes your way next. Don't go anywhere and have a great day, everyone.